In the first reading today, we hear from the book of Ezra about King Cyrus of Persia. And he tells us that all these things happened to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. That is, how long it was going to be that the Jewish people would be in exile and that they would be brought back to their own land. And that by itself is quite extraordinary. Even more extraordinary is that if you read the book of the prophet Isaiah, he tells us the name of the guy who's going to do this. No one's ever heard of Cyrus before, but Isaiah tells us that God is going to raise up this man named Cyrus and he's going to bring the people back to Israel. Now, while all that is pretty amazing, it's what Cyrus said that we have to listen to. Remember, this man is a pagan. He does not know the Jewish people. He does not know Judaism. He does not know that the temple of God was in Jerusalem. And yet, something happened, and he doesn't say exactly what, but just simply tells us that he has been charged by God to build a house in Jerusalem. And he was obedient. Think of what that means. God himself had foretold through the prophets how this was all going to work. And you have to put yourself into the position of the Jewish people. They're in exile. They're scattered about. They've been there for a long time. And some of them, even as we hear in Ezra, those whom God inspired came back. Many of them didn't. They had settled. They had started a new life. They had families. They had jobs. They had whatever. They didn't want to go back. So you have to ask yourself, even if you were in that position, would you go back? You're going back to nothing. Everything had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. So you don't have a house you're going back to. You don't even have a town that you're going back to. The purpose of going back is ultimately to rebuild the house of the Lord and to reestablish the people of God. But if you look at it from the point of inconvenience, it would be extremely inconvenient, and something a lot of people would shy away from. So it just helps us to put that into perspective, just to see even the heroic faith of these people who are willing to come back and say, look, the Lord told us this was what was going to happen, and it did. They had hope because of what Jeremiah had said. They knew the length of time that this was going to be and so on. But even with that, there was no obvious hope on the natural level for anything. It was a pagan king. They were exiles. They were slaves. And all of a sudden, this pagan gets raised up to be the king and says to the slaves, go back to where you came from and rebuild the house of God. Where does that come from, other than God himself? And I say all of that to be able to say that as we watch what's going on in our own world, people are getting more and more hopeless. And that's really sad. Because it's at a time like this that we have to have even more hope. First of all, because we know it needs to happen. Secondly, we know who's going to win. So why would we be hopeless? We would only be hopeless if we're looking at the natural level. If all that we're doing is looking at politics or looking at what's going on in the world or economics or whatever it is, maybe then we would be hopeless. If our focus is on the Lord, there is absolutely no reason to be hopeless. In fact, there is every reason for the greatest hope. And just like with anything else, you want to build something where something is already there, you got to tear it down. And then you put up whatever it is you're going to build. So it needs to happen. We remember the words of Jeremiah when he told the people, don't put your confidence in the term, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. It's about the Lord, not about the temple. It's God's church right now. The church has been infiltrated by her enemies up to her eyeballs. Well, even higher than that. And it needs to come down. It needs to be purified. We don't believe in a building. We believe in the Lord. Now, some people will say, well, but if he allowed this to happen. Yeah, he did. You know why? Number one, because of the infidelity of the people, but number two, to test our faith, to see if we will remain faithful while the majority do not. That's what this is all about, to make us saints. And so as things continue to progress, or as things continue to regress, as the case may be, we need to rise up. We need to be counted. That may not be politically correct. That may not be fun. But we have the promises of God. Are we going to believe them? Jeremiah, well, God spoke through Jeremiah to tell the people what was going to happen. God spoke through Isaiah to tell the people exactly what was going to happen. Did they believe it? No. I mean, some did, yes. But even when you read Jeremiah, it's so sad. Not just because of his suffering, but there's a particular passage there where the people literally come to Jeremiah. So now they've gone into exile, there are few left. They come to Jeremiah, they say, look, pray and ask the Lord what we're supposed to do. Whatever the Lord tells us, that's what we will do. Jeremiah says, here's what God wants you to do. If you don't do that and you do this instead, exactly what you're afraid of is going to happen to you. What did they do? Exactly the opposite of what God told them to do. So they came to the prophet, said, tell us what God wants, and we will do it. And they didn't. So if they're going to disobey directly, do you think that they really believed that, okay, look, here's what the prophet said was going to happen. Oh, well. So now the question is, do we believe? We have the word of God. It cannot change, and it cannot fail. It is an absolute, it is a guarantee. Do we believe it? Or do we just take it as, oh, that's nice. That's good advice. Or do we just not even pay any attention at all? It's all there. So now it's our turn. These people who had been made slaves or whatever their circumstances may have been, wherever they were exiled to, they had to make a choice. They had to decide to go back to Israel to absolute devastation. But they believed what God had said, and therefore they were going to go back and rebuild the temple of the Lord, and they were going to reestablish their lives. We're not at the point yet of having to rebuild anything. It hasn't been torn down yet. We're at the point where we need to stand up like those heroic people that made that choice to go back. Now it's our turn. Are we willing to stand up? Are we willing to be counted? Are we willing to say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord? That's where we're at, and that's where we're headed. So we're seeing extraordinary things going on in our world right now. We're seeing some extraordinary good that's following from an absolutely abominable situation of assassination. And at the other side, we're seeing the things that are bad getting way worse really quickly. So we have to make a choice. As I keep telling you, it's not just a generic choice. Yeah, I guess if it's one or the other, I guess I'd rather be with Jesus. No. Choose Jesus and live it. It's not enough to give him lip service with your heart far from him. You need to live your faith. It needs to be clear to everyone. You have to be the light in the darkness. That's exactly what Jesus said in the gospel. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a vessel or under a bed. It's supposed to give light to everyone in the house. That's you. He has started a fire in you, and he wants that fire to be burning so that you're going to enlighten the people around you. That doesn't mean that you have to hold court and sit and try and explain everything. It means you need to be an example. They need to see the charity. They need to see the faith. They need to see your hope. They need to be able to see that you are living your faith and that you have peace and you have confidence because your focus is on the Lord. That's where it has to be right now. And that's where it needs to stay as we move forward. Because things are going to continue to progress on one side and regress on the other. Stay with Jesus. Don't get caught up in all the external stuff, because it doesn't really matter. Get caught up in the internal stuff, because that's all that matters. Keep your focus on the Lord. Stay united with him. And then you will be that light. Your light will shine so that people will be able to see, because the faith that you have is going to be expressed in charity, and the love of God can shine through you and touch the hearts of others and bring them from darkness into light.